is Ginger Feldman from High and Mighty Therapeutic Riding and Driving Center, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Sabisha Friedberg in Paris, France. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, May the 29th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. At times Tuesday, it was difficult to tell whether former President Donald Trump or his former ally Michael Cohen was on trial. That's the take from NBC News. They report a largely stoic Trump nearly faded into the background as lawyers for the prosecution and defense laid out their summations. Jurors were treated to dueling portraits of Cohen, the star witness of the trial, and the relative significance of both his history of lies and the testimony provided in the case. The judge, Juan Merchan, kept the court in session until 7:57 Tuesday night in order to inch closer to the point at which Trump's fate is handed to the jury. That's expected to happen today. And groups fighting hunger in Indiana say they're deeply concerned about proposed cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Our Joey Lurie reports.
Republicans in Congress have advanced a long-anticipated farm bill through the U.S. House Agriculture Committee, despite Democratic opposition to the cuts it contains. Keir Kreitz Mueller is president and CEO of Food Finders Food Bank in Lafayette. She says food insecurity is on the rise in Indiana and is already at its highest since 2014.
The farm bill plays a pivotal role in addressing food insecurity, yet policy changes proposed by the bill make harmful cuts to crucial federal nutrition programs that help millions of people access the food they need to thrive.
The $1.5 trillion legislation sets policy and funding for key food, agriculture, and conservation programs for the next 5 years.
SNAP benefits are based on the cost of budget-conscious groceries for a family of four, or what's known as the Thrifty Food Plan. It's not immediately clear when the farm bill will be brought before the full House for debate. And the New Hampshire Senate has advanced a series of bills which opponents say will roll back protections for LGBTQ plus people. We get the details from Catherine Carley.
The measures ban transgender girls from playing sports in middle and high school, ban transgender people from using bathrooms that align with their gender, and ban gender-affirming surgeries for patients under 18. Sarah Robinson, an organizer with Granite State Progress, calls the bills discriminatory and cruel.
LGBTQ plus people and those who know and love them are urging a swift veto to these mean-spirited bills that are based in misinformation. When we say live free or die, we mean everyone.
Supporters say the bills are needed to ensure safety and fairness in both sports and public spaces and protect young people from making decisions they may regret. Governor Chris Sununu has said he shares those concerns but has not indicated whether he'll sign the bills.
More than 200 businesses recently signed on to a letter to Governor Sununu warning him that bills targeting transgender youth are tarnishing the state's reputation. This is Public News Service. And a new World Wildlife Fund survey shows since 1970, more than 80% of the global populations of freshwater migratory fish have declined, and significantly.
report calls development in its Living Planet Index distressing and faults habitat loss and degradation. It says factors like river fragmentation due to dams and agricultural encroachment account for half of the threats. The Shell team monitors freshwater species for the World Wildlife Fund and says though the trend is heading downward, there are efforts underway to save these species.
On average, we've seen freshwater migratory fish populations in North America decline by 34% since 1970. This is a little bit lower within what we're seeing globally, but it's still not a good number.
The index follows more than 1,800 populations of 284 native migratory freshwater fish species from around the world. Team says these fish often make the difference in food security and nutrition for vulnerable communities while supporting the livelihoods of millions of local and recreational fishing industries and global trade. Mark Richardson reporting.
And with the Port of Baltimore nearing a return to full commercial operations, advocates are renewing their call for an executive order to address maritime shipping emissions.
Last year, 45 environmental groups sent a letter calling on the Biden administration to decarbonize the maritime shipping sector. Included among their recommendations was eliminating in-port ship emissions by 2030 with one approach to connect ships to shore power while docked. Antonio Santos with the nonprofit Pacific Environment says reducing emissions is not just about climate change.
As you're reducing emissions, you're also protecting those directly impacted. And when we talk about where these ships tend to congregate, it is port workers and those frontline communities, those port adjacent communities that are directly affected.
Brett Pivato reporting.
Finally, Eric Tegenoff lets us know workers at an Oregon hospital are celebrating their recent vote in favor of unionizing.
More than 260 Legacy Mount Hood healthcare workers voted to join SEIU Local 49. The union represents other legacy healthcare workers in the Portland area, including at Emmanuel, Randall Children's, and Good Samaritan Hospitals. Kathy Mitchell is a certified health technician at Legacy Mount Hood.
We wanted to form a union, stand up for our fair pay and respect. And not only that, my idea is I'm going to retire in 5 years, and I want this for future generations and future employees.
Next, the union will determine its priorities for bargaining and begin negotiations on its first contract. SEIU Local 49 represents about 15,000 workers in Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member ALYSSA supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, May 29th. Local early morning temperatures range from 49 degrees in Tannersville to 56 in Copake. Regional average soil temperature is 62 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be high. Hopefully, those levels take a hit this afternoon when rain rolls on through, likely between 2 and 8 p.m. We get a high temperature of 71 degrees that will linger most of the afternoon. Overnight, light chances of rain, and we see a low of 53. If you're camping, make sure you got that rain fly. Tomorrow, rain chances vacate by noon, and we see a high of 73 at 4 p.m. Overnight, will be dry. Temperatures dip to 48 degrees. Friday, will be sunny, comfortable, high of 74 at 4 p.m. Weekend is also looking nice. Sunny both days with highs near 80 and comfortable sleeping lows in the 50s. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 1:53 a.m., then high tide at 7:55 a.m., low tide again at 2:54 p.m., then high tide once again at 8:48 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees, and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 8:08 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are up again 30% for today. Plasma winds will be slow at 335 kilometers per second with an average density of 5 protons per cubic centimeter. So far, it appears we do not have any Hadouken on the way. Radio propagation conditions are currently bad till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 141. And this has been the better weather for Wednesday, May 29th, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. And we want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man.
...are experiencing proton rays, which is like a Hadouken filtered through some Parker lines, and it's expected to cause an S1 class radiation storm. Such storms can cause damage to satellites, increase radiation exposure to people in high-flying aircraft, and read the electrons in the ionosphere, messing with radio communication. X-class flare chances are at 20%. Plasma waves will be slow at 348 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight, with good conditions below 4 megahertz. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 95. And this has been the Better Weather for Wednesday, June 12th. Brought to you by the Catskill Maker City.
East End was once a happy town, where harmony and love was busting out in all the seams and in the trees above. The dozen peace were laying eggs, there were no signs of strife. Each man loved his neighbor and sometimes his neighbor's wife. But a sudden change soon come about. Storm clouds were in the sky. Nobody's got to kiss a body coming through the rye. For each man and his neighbor, with malice and with hate, housewives no longer spilled the beans across the garden gate. We had a war, a civil war. Folks often asked us what we're fighting for. Well, most of us wanted violins and swords and bathtubs too. But the rest of them decided they'd make the slop pay with dues. It was sewerites versus slop pigs. The town was split in two. Propaganda, the air was often blue. The sewer and water faction ran a sanitary plank. They said shower wells and slop pails and toilets always stink. We had a war, a civil war. Started tearing up our quiet village street. Now peace and harmony once more replaced the grapes of wrath. So when next you visit East End, just stop in and have a bath. We had a war, a civil war.
last week in the New York State Legislature ended their session for the year with the assembly gathering out in the wee hours of Saturday morning. As usual, there was a flurry of action in the last week. Of the 805 bills that passed both chambers of the legislature this year, 489 were passed in the final legislative session. We're joined by HMM producer Mark Dunn to discuss the situation. Mark, what will the 2024 legislative session be remembered?
Well, thank you, Caitlin and Marcia. While there were some of the bills that have passed, including Davies, headlines in the New York Times, was that the most notable thing about this session was what didn't happen. Many key bills filed in closing hours, the most notable the New York Heat Act, Climate Change, Practical Protection Act, Medical Aid and Diane Act, Medicare, and Mr. Solution Act, to assist people in pain facing the terminal illness, also failed to pass, some of the rules of immigration rights, assistance for the Medical Act, the United States, and the Medical Social Property Individuals. And probably the closing days will most be remembered when Governor Hochul suddenly announcing that she was seeking recourse for voluntary contingency pricing in Manhattan 5 years after making the Thank you. hasty, so to speak, of the Senate. The other key environmental measure, which was alive really the last moment, was the packaging of that fair. We saw the Infrastructure Act, which would reduce plastic packaging by 50% for 3 years. The Senate did finally pass it, but they delayed it, messed things up by amending the bill to the road construction target to 30% to a year. It really happened. Everything is open in these two bills, but the necessary cuts are trying to reduce the pricing. At the last moment, almost out of nowhere, the Climate Superfund Act emerged as one big environmental bill. Speculation is with the loss of the revenue from congestion pricing, Speaker Hasty, who's already $3 billion of revenues from the Climate Superfund bill. Plus, because no one knows what the Climate Superfund bill was going to pass, a lot of the armies of industrial lobbyists are worn out trying to kill it. We will say early in the session, I'm going to just take a chance on the Kerman bill to try to protect tropical forests. I don't know if last year did have a similar proposal, so I'm going to bring that up. Signed. Congestion pricing is the big wild card. It's impossible for the state how upset so many Democrats are from the state legislature and Congress. They're hopeful doing this. Climate activists like the Kerman bill took this action. The single worst environmental decision ever. So maybe without consulting anyone, she drew a $15 billion hole in the funding for the New York subway system. Closing the gas plants, subway stops, local clergy is trying to protect Democrats in suburban districts. We might face backlash from the voters who ride into New York City. Most Democrats are just terrible, terrible state. So she did try to get the legislature to invest to the very $1 billion of the fund to close the initial short-term gap of the fundings. Limited lawmakers refused to bail it out. There is speculation that they may call in a special session to try to resolve this issue. If they do have a special session, advocates who bills almost got across the finish line and show the Trump push their bills to include it in that session. That's something we have to see. So, disappointing legislative session. A lot of speculation.
I think next is a big question mark. We've got about another minute or two. You were so quick. Is there hope maybe next year we can get these environmental bills through Congress and onto the governor's desk?
Well, the state legislature, it's always hope, but it always comes down to these bills by at the last moment. Argument, this is the election year, and they don't want to take any difficult choices. But these are issues that have 70% of the public. What was really an issue was not, the election year. The real issue was the enormous amount of people in the country. It was literally the Full Employment Act, the bad lobbyists, Representative Plastic, also food and vegetable utilities, Pepsi. We try to do it next year, but a lot of hearts were broken, and it is impossible to understand how disruptive congestion pricing was to the last 6 hours. I spent so many hours with my client trying to figure this out. And this issue is not going to delay. It took a lot of years to pass it, and now it's going to take a lot of time.
Thank you.
Mercury red, darkness rising. dropped considerably since 2019. Ade Fernandez with the National Center for Community and Schools says these numbers show the pandemic's continued impacts.
Well, schools are back in session, and in some ways people feel like things are back to normal. It doesn't suggest that there's still a lot of impact.
And tourism among students is up in New York State. This follows a national trend. The report shows 30% of students were chronically absent, almost pre-pandemic levels. Fernandez fears investments in New York schools will reduce absenteeism and drive better student outcomes. While the pandemic has impacted education, the report shows it's not the only reason student outcomes decline. Educators, lawmakers, and researchers have been concerned about academic preparedness for some time. As the CEO of the Canadian Education Foundation says, compared to other nations, the U.S. is
our economy is propelled by education. And so in order for our economy to work well, it's important that we prepare young people with the skills that they need to get their interviews.
She adds education disparities are worse for students of color, kids in urban to low-income families, for those attending low-income schools. Gaps can affect their ability to thrive as adults. This is WGAU for New York News Connection, Brenda Trustman, Jersey, News Service.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
One side or the other, I mean, there can be a way of living together peacefully, but it's different.
Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito on a recording secretly made at a historical society dinner. Alito also says many of Americans' deep divisions can't be compromised and agreed with the statement that the country should return to a place of godliness. Some journalists called the recording unethical, but Alito was already accused of bias. Flags tied to January 6th and the Stop the Steal movement flew outside two of his homes. Congressional Democrats are separately criticizing the High Court's ethics, with Alito and Justice Clarence Thomas revealing huge gifts from right-wing mega-donors. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says the financial corruption even threatens Americans' fundamental rights.
Reproductive health care, civil liberties, voting rights, the right to organize, clean air and water, because the court has been captured and corrupted by money and extremism.
The ethics code the justices adopted last fall lacks any enforcement mechanism. The president's son has been convicted of three felony gun charges. The jury agreed with prosecutors that Hunter Biden lied on a form in 2018 when buying a Colt revolver while addicted to crack. He could get 25 years. Special Prosecutor David Weiss says the verdict shows no one is above the law.
Everyone must be accountable for their actions, even this defendant. However, Hunter Biden should be no more accountable than any other citizen convicted of this same conduct.
Maine, South Carolina, and North Dakota held primaries Tuesday, and in an ugly Nevada Senate race, former Army Captain Sam Brown got a last-minute endorsement from former President Donald Trump. Party leaders say Brown has a better chance against Democratic incumbent Jackie Rosen in a race that could tip the Senate. Brown is breaking with the base, telling NBC he would not support a federal abortion ban.
I respect the law that the voters put in place over 30 years ago that it grants access for women up to 24 weeks.
Meanwhile, Trump has pledged his support for the Danbury Institute, a Christian coalition opposed to abortion under any circumstance. Despite a lack of evidence, Republicans say non-citizens voting threatens U.S. democracy. Texas Congressman Chip Roy says his bill requiring proof of citizenship to register or vote in federal elections could save the country.
This is about the rule of law, ensuring the integrity of elections, and the simple proposition that only citizens should vote.
A new survey shows 28 million eligible voters can quickly access a passport, birth certificate, or naturalization papers. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, from your government, I am Carrie McKenna. While new messaging from the Republican National Committee and former President Donald Trump encourages turnout by early absentee or mail-in voting, GOP lawyers in Nevada, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Mississippi, and Oregon are simultaneously challenging the rules and legitimacy of mail-in voting. Following years of claiming widespread mail-in voter fraud, Donald Trump implored his followers to report to swamp the vote. Quote, whether you vote early, absentee, by mail, or in person, you must swamp the radical Democrats with massive turnout. May 20th, the U.S. Supreme Court challenged by GOP candidates in Oregon's mail-in voting failed when the High Court refused the case. June 5th, appeals were heard after Delaware laws permitting a permanent absentee voter list and early voting were struck down in a case brought by the state GOP chair. In Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Mississippi, the GOP is challenging whether ballots with no postmark or date or arriving after the election can be counted. Drop boxes also contain Secretary of State recently urged county election officials to stop using them while citing no evidence of misuse. An attorney in Oregon's case told the Oregon Capital Chronicle, vote by mail is an abomination. We will fight it every possible way we can. Find more reporting linked at AmericanDemocracy.org.
Hello and welcome to the Better Weather for Wednesday, June 12th. Local early morning temperatures range from 51 degrees in Hanover to 56 degrees in Redwood. Regional average soil temperature is 60 degrees. Pollen level for today will be easy. Today will be cloudy and comfortable. High of 75 at 4 p.m. Overnight temperatures dip to 54 degrees. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies drive the temperature up to 84 degrees at 3 p.m. Winds should increase through the day, helping to moderate the temperature. A dip to only 65 degrees overnight takes us into a stormy looking Friday. We get a high of 85. The weekend is looking nice. It should be dry with highs in the upper 70s. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2 a.m., high tide at 8:03 a.m., low tide again at 2:52 p.m., then high tide once again at 8:58 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 74 degrees and the tide spread will be low. Sunset today will be at 8:17 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:15 a.m. Making way up and see, we are experiencing proton rain, which is like in Hadouken filtered through some Parker lines and it's expected to cause an S1 class radiation storm. Such storms can cause damage to satellites, increased radiation exposure to people in high-flying aircraft, and freeze the electrons in the ionosphere, messing with radio communication. X-class wave chances are at 20%, and the wind will be slow at 248 kilometers per second with a spin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark and fair below 60 MHz overnight, with good conditions below 4 MHz. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 95. And this has been the Better Weather for Wednesday, June 12th. Brought to you by Catskill Major Simpson.